Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
Amen. So for the last several weeks, we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. By this time, I think this is the fourth installment in the sermon series. We should be able to memorize them, say them from memory, or at least most of them from memory. So having the Holy Spirit in our lives is a result of having the Holy Spirit's character in our lives is having the fruit of the Spirit. So the character of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is his character. So having the Holy Spirit working actively in our lives produces his character in our lives. And the fruit of the Spirit is the character of the Holy Spirit. That is why it is singular. It doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit. If you read it, it doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit. It says the fruit of the Spirit. So if I came to somebody and I said, hey, can you tell me about Pastor Sandra's character? You'll say she's faithful. She's hardworking. She's dedicated. She's loving. She's kind. That's her character. You wouldn't say that's her characters. You'd say that's her character. So this is the character of the fruit of the Spirit. So last week when we took, thank you very much, Apostle, the fruit of the Spirit test, yes, what we were testing ourselves for was to determine how much of the Holy Spirit character, yes, we are mimicking or imitating in our lives. How much of his character are we duplicating in our lives? Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of God. So we are reflecting the glory of God and being transformed into the same image, being transformed into the image of God from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. So that's the goal. The goal of a Christian is to be transformed into the image of God, to replicate the character of the Holy Spirit, right? Yeah. That's what Christian means. It comes from the Greek word Christianos, and Christianos means follower of Christ. But the Greek word for follower is mimiatis, and it means imitator. So when they were saying that they were followers of Christ, I'm sure they were not being complimentary. They were saying, oh, look at them trying to be like Jesus. Look at them trying to imitate Jesus. They trying to do what Jesus does. Well, what else am I supposed to do? I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to be like Jesus. We're supposed to imitate Jesus, imitate his character, because I'm sure if we did a study on Jesus and we go to the gospel and we read through the gospel, I'm sure if we did a study on Jesus' character throughout the New Testament, we would see love, joy, peace, gentleness. I saw gentleness when Pilate was talking to him and he was quiet, because I couldn't have been quiet like him. So if we did a study on Jesus, we would see the fruit of his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. When he left the disciples, he says, I'm leaving, but I'm leaving a part of you, part of me here to be with you. I'm sending you my Holy Spirit. So the Greek word for image in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that I read earlier is icon, and it's E-I-K-O-M-N. And in the biblical context, the meaning of this word image is of heavenly things. It's used to describe the moral likeness of a renewed man or woman of God. It is the image of the Son of God into which true Christians are transformed. That's the goal, to be transformed into the image, the character of Jesus Christ. So if we go back to Genesis, in the beginning, when God the Father and Son got together, the Trinity got together, they said, let us make man in our image. And we just found out what that image, that word means. The moral likeness of God, and to be transformed into the Son of God. So that was always God's intention when he said, let us make man in our image. Let us make someone who reflects our love, reflects our peace, reflects our joy, our kindness, reflects the fruit of our character. Sin came in and foiled that, but God had a plan. So he sent Jesus to bring us back into the divine alignment of his original purpose. So the goal is to be the image of Jesus, meaning having his character, the fruit of his spirit. I'll say it again in case you didn't get it. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is the goal. That is what we are striving towards. And we can only do this by being rooted in the Holy Spirit. So I'll ask a question. What produces fruit? It's not a trick question. What produces fruit? Tree. Thank you. Trees produce fruit. So we can go to Psalms 1, verse 1 through 3. And it says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the river bank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Jeremiah 17:7-8 says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. So we're trees, right? And for us to grow, to produce the fruit, the character of God, there are several factors involved in that happening. There are several factors involved in a tree bearing good fruit. So the first factor is soil, right? A tree must be planted in soil that gives it nutrients, and the nutrients helps it to grow and bear fruit. So back to Psalm 1, verse 1. It says that when we delight ourselves in the law of the Lord, the law of the Lord is the word of God, and we meditate on it day and night. That does not mean meditate on it in the morning and in the evening. It didn't say morning and evening. It said day and night. So all day and all night, meditate on the word of God. That means all the time, right? And then we will bear fruit in our season. Our leaves won't dry up, and everything we do will prosper. So the principle is the soil we need to be rooted in to get nutrients we need to produce fruit is the word of God. And we must meditate on it day and night, all day and all night. Okay? The second factor that helps us to produce good fruit is water. Okay? Yeah. The soil must be watered. Yeah. So a tree's roots have hairs on them. If you ever pull up a plant out of the ground, you'll see these little hairs on the roots. So big trees have them too, little trees have them. And they help absorb the water to transport the minerals or nutrients from the soil into the tree through the root system. So even if the tree is planted in nutritious soil, but it doesn't rain, it's not getting any water, it's not able to absorb the nutrients. So Holy Spirit is the water that helps us absorb the nutrients in the Word of God to produce the fruit, right? Or become more like Jesus. So I'll give you an example, and I thought of this example after I wrote my notes, so I don't have a scripture for you, but You can Google it. So in the New Testament, the evangelist Philip, Holy Spirit took him, supernaturally took him, to the Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch was in the middle of wherever, and he was in his chariot, and he was reading the Bible. He was reading the book of Isaiah, and he was reading without understanding. He was reading without the Holy Spirit. So he didn't understand what he was reading, but the Holy Spirit took Philip there to give him the revelation that he needed so that he could understand, he could get the nutrients that he needed to have understanding. And so once Philip gave him the revelation, he says, oh my goodness, Jesus is the Messiah. He got saved, and he said, go ahead and baptize me, right? So Holy Spirit helps us understand what we're reading, to get the nutrients out of the Word of God to help us to grow. So the principle, Acts 8, you can go read about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Thank you, sir. You like ChatGPT. Thank you. Acts 8, 38 and 39, or 39 and 40. 39, 40. Thank you. So the principle is, even if we are rooted in the Word of God and meditate on it daily, without the Holy Spirit, we will not get the revelation we need to grow and produce fruit, right? So in the Greek, there are two words for the word word, and that's a lot of words that I just said. So there are two Greek words for the English word word. One is logos, and that means the written word. The other word is rhema, and that's a revealed word. So we need a revelation. We need God to reveal a word to us about the written word for us to grow and mature and produce good fruit. The third factor is light. So trees need sunlight. So sunlight aids in photosynthesis. I have not seen this word since elementary school, but so I was like, what's this do again? So I'm going to simplify it. This is the process trees use to produce energy. And one of the reasons that it needs energy is to help it produce better fruit. Not just fruit, better fruit. So trees need to be in the light, not in the darkness. We need to be in the light and not in the darkness. John 8:12 says, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to light. So we need to be in the light. We need to be walking with Jesus, and he will illuminate our path, illuminate things for us to help us to grow. The principle is, following the light, which is Jesus Christ, helps us produce better fruit. That's not in notes. Insert that there. Better fruit. The fourth factor that helps us to produce fruit is pruning. Yeah, pruning. And you talked about this a little bit last week. So trees need to be pruned. Pruning helps a tree produce quality fruit, right? Pruning is removing dead, diseased, or injured parts of the tree to maximize productivity. That helps it to grow more fruit, or appearance, aesthetics. When your brother helped you, that helped it look better aesthetically, right? But we're going to talk about productivity. It also helps to minimize pest damage and encourages growth and circulation. So in John 15:1-5, it says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit. If you're not producing fruit, you're going to be cut off, but that's a different sermon. We're talking about producing fruit. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more fruit. You've already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. We're being pruned and purified by the word. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in Jesus. Don't go off astray. You're not gonna, don't let nobody transplant you. into some other soil, some sandy soil, some lime rock, not good soil. So the principle is the Word of God with the revelation of the Holy Spirit prunes and purifies us by cutting off people, things, and thought processes that are dead, diseased, or injured so we can grow and produce more fruit, right? So that doesn't sound comfortable. Cutting off people, things, and thoughts. And I'll start with thoughts. We may have some ideology, something that we learned as a child that does not line up with the Word of God. It has to be cut off. I don't care who told you it. I don't care how long you believed it was true. If it is not in the Word of God, that means that it is a lie, and it has to be cut off. The same thing with people. People who are not helping you grow. When you're trying to produce the fruit of the Spirit, you're trying to be kind. Oh, girl, you too kind. Why are you always so kind? What, you want me to be mean? I used to be mean, and you said you're mean, now I'm being kind. You're too kind. That person has to go, okay? Any person that's questioning the Holy Spirit producing fruit in your life has to be cut off. And then things that bring distraction, it has to be cut off. Things that cause double-mindedness, it has to be cut off. It could be right in your phone. I'm talking about those apps that we go to very often and scroll mindlessly. Some of those have to be cut off. So the fifth factor that contributes towards us maturing in Christ is maturity. Mature trees produce more fruit. Mature trees produce more fruit. And maturity does not mean how long you've been a Christian. Okay? Maturity comes with how close you are to God. God says, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. David wrote, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. A person who's hungering and thirsting after righteousness, if they've only been saved a year, they will mature quickly, faster than somebody who is being lackadaisical in their faith and has been saved for 20 years. So Hebrews 6:1-3 says, so let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again. And again, let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. You don't need further instructions about baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward to further our understanding. So what the author of Hebrews is saying, like, we don't need to do grade one again. We done been in grade one for 25 years. Can we move on and graduate from elementary school, go to high school, go to college, go to grad school? We need to be on our doctorate by now. That we go from glory to glory in God. We don't just stay in glory. We go from glory to glory. It's a progressive thing. Even if we look at the lives of the disciples, we can see the maturity in them. Peter in the Gospels was in Peter in the book of Acts. And Peter in the book of Acts was in the Peter that wrote 1st and 2nd Peter. We see the progression from fisherman to disciple to an apostle who got up and preached the first sermon on the day of Pentecost, to someone who is the bishop over all of the churches. This is a man who cut off somebody's ear, who is ready to fight you first and ask questions later, and became the bishop of the church in Jerusalem. So we see his maturity. He didn't stay that same person. And we shouldn't stay the same either. When we look at our lives as Christians, we should be able, even in a year, at the end of the year, we should be able to look back on the year and see how much that we've grown and matured in our faith so that we could produce more fruit. Because if you're producing the same fruit that the baby Christian is producing, and you've been saved for 25, 50, 75 years, or your whole life, like me, something's wrong, and we need to examine that. So mature Christians produce more fruit of the Spirit, more character of the Holy Spirit, and are more like Jesus. So even when we are producing fruit. So we have the factors that help us produce fruit. So even if we're firmly rooted in God, producing fruit, there are still threats to the fruit we produce because the enemy doesn't want us producing fruit. He wants to take the fruit, right? So growing up in the Bahamas, we had a lot of fruit trees in our yard. We had a guava tree, an avocado tree, a mango tree. We had a orange tree, lemon tree, coconut tree. I agree with Ariella because thinking about it, this tree never had any coconuts on it. And we had a banana tree that never had any bananas. So those needed to be cursed and cut off. But anyway, so we had all of these trees. And one day my dad asked me to go out and pick some mangoes off the tree. So I go out and I'm picking mangoes and I go to pick one off the tree and it didn't feel right. And when I looked at it, when I examined the fruit, on the bottom, something had bitten on the bottom and had eaten out all of the fruit out of it. And it was just the skin and the seed inside with no meat. So a pest, I found out it was a raccoon because I watched it after that. I watched it go climb the tree and it got in this little paw. It bit it and got its little paw and pulled the meat out of the mango. So that's a pest. So we can bear fruit, but the enemy is always looking for ways to take our fruit. So one threat to our fruit is pests. Those are things that are external things that bother us, that annoy us, that cause us when we're trying to be kind and we're driving in the street and somebody cuts us off and we give them a kind finger. That is not the fruit of the Spirit. That is a pest that the enemy has sent to ruin our witness and get us out of the Spirit. Disease is another threat to our fruit. So the disease of unbelief, the disease of worry, the disease of fear, the disease of unforgiveness, the disease of doubt, those are threats to our fruit. Because if we're focusing on that, we're not focusing on developing the fruit of the Spirit. We're not even hearing the Spirit. When doubt and worry and unforgiveness and anger, when it's loud, it's preventing us from hearing the fruit of the Spirit. And then another condition that threatens our fruit is stressful conditions or stress. So stress can cause drought. Stress can cause drought, and drought is a lack of the word. When we're stressing over something, and sometimes instead of running to the word of God, we run away from the word of God and we get in our thoughts. And without the word of God, which is what we're rooted in to get nutrients, we're not going to grow. And then the environment. What is around you? Who is around you? You have to look at those things because the environment that you're around can threaten your fruit. In Psalms 34:8, it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Right? Taste and see that the Lord is good. What are people tasting when they taste our fruit? When they taste our fruit, they're supposed to say, God is good. They're supposed to taste that from our lives. Our lives are supposed to bear witness of God's goodness. They're supposed to say, I taste kindness. That's so good. I taste love. Oh, my goodness. I taste joy when they taste us. Or are they saying, that's nasty. I taste sarcasm. That's so nasty. I taste pesticide. I taste pessimism. Either one. I taste fear. What are people tasting when they encounter our fruit? Let's bow our heads. Father God, I pray that your word has been a seed planted in our hearts this morning. I pray that every person that is hearing your word this morning is hearing, Lord God, what you're saying to them, Lord God. They're not taking that as for somebody else, but it's you speaking directly to them about the fruit that you want to produce in them, more fruit that you want to produce in them, Lord God. I come against anything that would stop us, Lord God, from producing good fruit. It would distract us, Lord God, from your word, Lord God, that would get us away from your Holy Spirit, would stop us from running into your presence, Lord God. I pray that you crown our heads with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, revelation, and discernment in this season, Lord God. Give us a spirit of boldness, Lord God, to share your word with others, to share your kindness with others, to share your peace with others, to share your joy with others, Lord God, to be a testimony and a testament, Lord God, for what you've done in our lives, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you would loosen our tongues, Lord God, that we would speak and testify of your goodness in our lives, Lord God, that allows people to taste and see and know that you are good in our lives, Lord God. Your word says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony, Lord God. Help us to testify, Lord God, of all that you've done, of where you've brought us from, Lord God, in this season, Heavenly Father, Lord God. If there's anybody in here that does not know Jesus, to even begin to produce the character of Christ, if you would slip your hand up, I'd like to pray with you if you would like to get to know Jesus so that you can produce his character in your life, so that you can be more kind and more loving, that you can have the peace of God, that you can be faithful because he is faithful to you. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, for every person who's raised their hand. Just have everybody can just repeat after me. Father God, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you that you hear me and you always hear me. I repent of my sins, my transgressions, and iniquities. I thank you for your forgiveness and accepting me into your family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.